remain standing, get your Bible, Psalm 91, and that will be sufficient sermon for the evening. Psalm 91. Amen. We'll pick up here several weeks of being this Psalm. For the foreseeable future, we'll try to get faithful again here to the Psalms on our midweek service. Encourage our hearts in the Psalms. We've had a good long break through it. In fact, I believe we're skipping Psalm 9, but we'll come back to it in a later service here sometime. But I've enjoyed studying the Psalms since we started this years ago, and enjoying preaching through all these seasons we get as the Lord lets us. I've learned to just slow down and let the Lord speak to us through them. Amen. I think a lot of times we get in too big of a hurry and we'll miss something if we're not careful. I'll share with you maybe, I read all this Psalm. It's only 16 verses, I believe. And I'll give you five or six verses, really maybe five verses this evening in this Psalm after we set the stage for it. The Bible said, verse number 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of the night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet." Boy, I can't wait to get to verse 13. Amen. "Because He has set His love upon me." Now this is God. This is God speaking of this crowd that is abiding in the presence of the Lord. God says, "Because that individual, that man, that woman, He has set His love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, tonight, in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, we come to you asking you, Father, Lord, again, for Lord, help and mercy and grace. Lord, we know that, Lord, in and of ourselves, we have no power to walk in this place. In and of ourselves, Lord, we have no ability, Lord, to do what needs to be done and exercising the call of God upon our life. And so, Lord, as we take this text, Lord, from your word, I pray, Father, tonight that, Lord, you speak to hearts, encourage the saints of God. I pray you draw us close, Lord, to the presence of God tonight. And, Lord, we won't make it real far into this text, but, Lord, I pray that let us get deep enough in it tonight that, Lord, there be a desire created in every saint of God, Lord, in this place this evening, Lord, that they would leave saying, "I want to be as close to God as I can be." And Lord, what you do in this place tonight, and Lord, what you do is resolve, Lord, of this text and these truths in our heart tonight and as you come. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Psalm 91, especially verse number 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's one of the significant verses, and thus one of the significant psalms that is recorded in the Word of God for you and I. You'll find that as we have studied many of these psalms, you'll know as you listen to me, try to make an emphasis on the heading and the title of these psalms, indicating the author and the situation and the condition under which it was written. But in Psalm 91, this is not exclusive to this psalm, but we find that there is no heading here. And so it leaves us kind of having to study and find some background through other ways. And in doing that in my study, I won't go through all the labor of it all, but I believe that this psalm is likely the second psalm penned by Moses during the time of the wilderness wanderings of the children of God there making their way to Canaan land. And I will give you this, one of two ways indicate that to us. And in tradition, what rabbinical teaching would give to you and I is that when a psalm doesn't have a heading or indicate an author, the author of the previous psalm is the author of that psalm. Okay. Psalm 90 is the prayer of Moses, the man of God. And so that kind of leads me to indicate, should that Jewish tradition or outlook on the scripture be so, that would lead us to believe that Moses wrote this psalm. And we'll consider some other things in this psalm as well. One of the things, and I'll just give you within the psalm, is verse number 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. We know this in the wilderness wandering. It was filled literally with thousands dying daily, as that generation of rebellious hearted people that did not take God in his word and go into Canaan land as God had directed. And it was literally 40 years of funeral services in the wilderness. And so I think verse 7 is an indication of that time of the wilderness wandering, thus making Moses the author of this psalm. And that comes into play as we consider the thought that I want to give you for this psalm, is that when we think of Moses, the man of God, and what a man of God that Moses was. He plays a significant role in the Word of God. He plays a significant role within the plan of God. Even into the New Testament, we understand the significance of his life, and likely even on into future prophecy. And Moses is God's man, used mightily of God for the nation of Israel. And so when we think about it, one of the things that would stand out to you and I is that we think of the man who received the law and the plan for building God's habitation for the old economy. And so we would read in John 1, the law came by Moses. We know the Word of God, and indeed that it did. And God gave the law to Moses. Brother Al, he gave not only the law and the commandments, but he gave the instruction for the building of the tabernacle that God said he would dwell in there among his people, and that there they would worship God. Now Moses not only oversaw the building of the tabernacle, but when you study Moses' life and the indication after that the tabernacle was built, it seems that Moses seems to have set up his own tent near the entrance of that place of worship. He didn't live on the outskirts of the camp and the congregation. Moses, I believe, in studying, it's indicated that he lived. If not on the doorstep, he lived very near and close to the place of worship. Now we think about the tabernacle and all that it represents after it was set up. Of course, we understand there was an outer court that had Jew and Gentile both could gather in and there bring their sacrifices to the brazen laver. and offer it there as an atonement, sacrifices as an atonement for their sin. We understand the Levite can then enter into that place that is known as the holy place. In the holy place, you had different functions and services that went on before the Lord in the daily ministration of the temple behind. And beyond the holy place, there is the veil behind which rested the Holy of Holies, or the place known as the secret place, where only the high priest once a year would slip in with the blood of the atonement and the bullock or the lamb or whatever had been offered on the occasion. And that blood sprinkled upon the Ark of the Covenant and the Ark of the Lord, where the presence of the Lord dwelled in the secret place. Now they knew that God was in there because from the outside of the tabernacle, there rested in the wilderness wanderings, there rested a pillar of cloud above the holy, of holies, where God dwelt by day, a pillar of fire by night. And so Moses here, not only having given the instruction and oversaw the building of the tabernacle, now for 40 years gets to enjoy living in the shadow of this great place of worship. From Tim, every morning he wakes up, he stretches his arms, and no doubt steps outside his tent. And there, my friend, he sees the shadow of the Almighty being cast upon his life. As the nighttime, maybe Moses, I'm sure, a man of burdens and a man of pressing things. A man maybe at times had trouble sleeping like, amen, I do, and some of you do, and wake up in the night. And Moses could peek out of his tent door, and there would be the pillar of fire, the presence of God still shining there on the tabernacle in the place of worship. Moses was experiencing the shadow of the presence of God Almighty. And so Moses then, in light of that, Moses knew the significance of his cloud by day and fire by night. Again, they signified the presence of God in the secret place. Amen. This is not strange. He knows what's in the Holy of Holies. He knows that's where the Ark of the Covenant is. He knows that only the high priest, not even Moses himself, can go back there. That only the high priest can do that. Amen. And yet Moses gets to enjoy living under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. The secret place, it is called here, verse number 1, he then dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Amen. He says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And so Moses literally here dwelled under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. And so when he says here, when he's speaking about a man and is living his life in the presence of God, Moses is. And not only Gentiles and Jews can go so far, only the Levites and the priests can go a little further. Only the high priest can go into the literal secret place. But what we find here is that this psalm takes us beyond the literal experience of Moses, or that in particular the high priest of his day, and shows us from Moses living in the presence of God, the relationship of God's children to God's presence. And not all can go into the secret place in Moses' day. Amen. But I'm glad to report to you tonight from Psalm 91, all God's children can live in the presence of God. Amen. We can live under the shadow of the Almighty. And so I'm going to preach this evening. I'll not be long tonight. Amen. But I'm going to use the phrase that is used here. I use both phrases, the secret place. Amen. Indicating that place where God dwells. Amen. Where only those with the blood can enter into. And there's a lot of preaching right there we can do tonight, but I'll forego at least this evening. And may say more about it on next week, but the secret place, and then the shadow of the Almighty. And I want to preach on the thought, living under the shadow of God. Living under the shadow of God. And when we think about this thought, living under the shadow of God, to live under the shadow of God, I think is when we consider this phrase tonight and this psalm, and especially verse number 1, to live under the shadow of God is to live in close proximity to God on a personal level.
Amen.
On a personal level, you and I, living our life in close proximity to God. And now, when we think about living in the shadow of God, amen, living in the shadow of a godly parent, a godly pastor, a godly peer, is not the same as living in the shadow of God. Amen, it is something that's got to be personal. It's something that a man, a woman, a boy, or girl that is saved by the grace of God must personally attach their life into. Amen. It's not living on daddy's coattails, the coattails of daddy's religion. Amen. It's not living in the godliness and the relationship that some mother has and just getting in on her hip skirt. But my friend, you and I plugging in personally where we decide we're going to be as close to God, amen, as is humanly possible this side of eternity. Amen. And by the way, we are as close to God tonight as we want to be. Amen. You tonight are absolutely as close to God and living under the shadow of God in proximity to the degree of proximity as you have a desire to do. Amen. Moses desired to live near the doorstep. Amen. Under the shadow. He didn't want to live on the outskirts. He didn't want to see how far he could push the boundaries and have to squint. Amen. Really labor to see the presence of the Lord. Amen. He made a decision. I'm going to live as close as is humanly possible to the proximity of living under the shadow of God. Amen. Going to church services is not the same as living in the shadow of God. Amen. Listen, I mean, just showing up. Amen. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that's a good thing. Nothing to be criticized about there. And I'm preaching to the choir about that this evening. Amen. And thank God for your faithfulness. But, amen, just coming to church is not the same as living your life under the shadow of God. Amen. Then you say, well, what is it? Living under the shadow of God. Amen. It is to, and I've used two words from verse number 1. Amen. It is to dwell and abide close to God. Amen. It is to live your life dwelling and abiding. Amen. In close proximity to God. He man, notice what Moses said in verse number 1. Or notice what he did not say. He did not say he that casually visits the secret place of the Most High, amen, shall every now and then dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. And so, no, he uses two words that, amen, indicate to you and I, amen, what it is to live under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen, it is to dwell and abide, let me say it in New Testament terms, amen, to dwell in and abide in Christ. Amen, Christ is our tabernacle. Amen, Christ is our glory that we behold. Amen, Christ is our sacrifice. Amen, through Christ we know the presence of the Lord. And so Moses uses some New Testament terms. In an old economy, dwell in and abide in, amen, is what it means to live under the shadow of God. The word dwelleth, get this now, amen, the word dwelleth means to sit down in quiet, amen, to lose all the noise, amen, to escape all the ramblings that are going on, and learning how to sit down in quiet. Amen. Many folk cannot live under the shadow of God, and because they're
this world. Amen. I'm telling you to live under the shadow of God. Amen. Is to learn what it is to have self-discipline. Amen. Where you unplug your life from the things going on. Amen. And lose the ear side of the noise. Amen. And all the grumblings and all the murmurings. Amen. All the complaining that Moses here is fair share of it. Amen. You better believe it did, but at the end of every day, amen, Moses knew he had a chance to go and dwell in the eye. Amen. His life could be lived, amen, under the shadow of God. He had a place, amen, to flee the noise that was going on around him. Amen. I don't know why I'm bogging down right here. I ain't even got any notes on this. Amen. Other than to sit down and pray. Amen. Is there not a lot of noise in our generation? Amen. There's a lot of noise and a lot of things that, amen, if we're not careful, we begin to give attention to. Amen. And some things we have to give attention to. Amen. But can I say to you and I as the children of God, and somewhere in our Christian life, we're going to have to learn the discipline, amen, of unplugging and plugging, amen, from the noise and plugging into the quiet and sitting down, amen, in a quiet place. Amen. This word dwell, it means to remain. Amen. It means to remain. Amen. He that dwelleth in a secret place. And the idea here is that, amen, the one that is living under the shadow of God, amen, it is somewhere they desire to remain. Amen, they're not in it and then out of it. They don't, amen, fire up for 3 weeks in cold this last year. Amen, Jack Frost for the next 6 months. Amen, they know what it is to remain, amen, in the secret place there in the presence of God. The word dwell, it means to settle, or it means just to marry. Amen. And I know our generation don't know a whole lot, amen, about the biblical principles of what it is to marry. Amen. But to marry someone is a commitment. Amen. You're making a commitment. Amen. You're making vows. You're making a determination that, amen, and I'll get her all wrong here and there. Amen. Trying to quote it all, but for richer, for poorer, amen, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health. Amen. And so those vows are made when we marry. Amen. It says it doesn't matter what is going on in my life. It doesn't matter what is going on in this relationship. I am committed to dwell in this, under this relationship. Amen. Would it not be good if we as God's children, amen, would make those vows to God concerning the secret place? And my friend, whether it's for better or for worse, whether it's for, amen, in sickness or in hell, amen, whether it's for richer or for poorer, I will not allow the conditions, amen, touch my life to drive me away from the presence of God. You said, preacher, that don't happen. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. Amen, things are going good and cold. Amen. They'll naturally be in the shadow of the Lord. Amen. But things begin to go bad on the city. Amen. They lose sight of what it is to remain. Amen. You settle down and sit down and pray. And so living under the shadow of God, amen, this is, it is to dwell. It is to dwell in the presence of Christ. And then he uses the word abide. I love this word. Amen. The word abide means to stop. Amen. It just simply means to stop. Amen. Can I say tonight, amen, to live under the shadow of God means there are some things you're going to have to just stop. Amen. There's just some things you got to put on pause. Amen. And my friend, plug into, amen, maintaining your personal closeness up to the presence of the Lord. The word abide Amen means literally what you and I would have in mind. It means to stay permanently. Amen, to stay permanently. You say, "But preacher, I've got to work and I've got to get the things here. I've got this to do and that planned it." And I'm not talking about living our life in some spiritual cave and become some sort of Christian monk. Amen, where all we do is sit around in robe and hum it and meditate on God. That's not what I'm talking about. Amen, but I'm talking about ever being present, ever having present in our mind. Amen, that we are to be living our life in everything we do. Amen, living it under the shadow of God. Amen, understanding everywhere we go, God is with us. Amen, everywhere and everything we do, God is there. Everything we say, God hears. Everything we see, God sees. And that friend, understanding that, amen, on the drive you of that to stay up permanently, whether on the job or doing some hobby, or when we go to church, or when we're praying, or when we're with our family, amen, friend, we would understand, amen, we cannot categorize our life, amen, that my prayer time is my spiritual side, and my hobby time is my carnal side. Those that live under the presence and the shadow of God understand, amen, that I am a Christian 24/7. Amen, I am to be a Christian when I'm in church. I'm to be a Christian when I'm all alone. I'm to be a Christian and act like it in my family. Amen, and so to stay permanently. Amen, it carries on with it. The word of man carries with it the idea of lodging. Amen. Lodging our spiritual life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are preaching on living under the shadow of God. Living under the shadow of God is the thing of this psalm, and shows you several truths, I think, about our relationship with the Lord. And on the drive, you and I to be as close to God, closer to God, amen, tomorrow than we are tonight. Amen, ever striving to be closer to God, amen, and living under His shadow. And so let me just wet your spiritual whistle, amen, and give you point number one tonight. Amen, I say in the opening six verses what we'll call of the portrayal of the secret place. The portrayal of the secret place. What does it look like? And what is this secret place when we're living under the shadow of God? And this psalm begins by making several descriptive pictures of what living under the shadow of God looks like. Let me give you five of them real quickly. Amen, and I'm done. Number one, Brother Bob, I see the secret place is a sacred place. The secret place is a sacred place. Amen, and we've got to have this in our mindset. Amen, notice what he said. He that dwelleth in the secret place of what? The Most High shall abide under the shadow of who? The Almighty. And so here we find that it is the place not of mortal carnal man, but of the Most High and the Almighty. Amen. It is His presence, it is God's presence that makes it holy, and to experience this place requires a recognition and respect of its sacredness. Amen. When we're talking about the secret place, and I didn't define that now. I'll get into some things maybe next week. Amen. But the secret place just literally means a private place. Amen. It means a concealed place. Amen. It means a place that is covered over. And it's not secret in the sense. It's not secret in the sense that man can't find it. It's not secret in the sense that God has it hid from His children. But it's secret in that He has it hid for His children. Amen. a secret place in the fact of that it is a sacred place. It is a place this world will never know anything about. It's a place that worldlings and heathens and pagans, a man friend, cannot even begin to imagine. It is a place, I would say today, and not even the same man and woman that is carnally minded can ever comprehend and experience and enjoy. Amen, lad preacher, because there is, amen, a portrayal here that Moses makes. And the secret place is a sacred place. Amen, only holy people will desire to be there. Only those that are spiritually minded and heavenly minded, a man friend, will desire to dwell in the presence of God. And they may try to talk about it, and they may try to form letters like they know something about it. A man friend, they'll never be spiritually satisfied. Amen. Until man friend, we die to the carnal appetites of the flesh, and man friend, desire to dwell under the shadow of God. Amen. Carnal men and women don't desire God's presence. Amen. You know why? Because they're not interested in the sacred. Amen. In fact, when Christ was made a high priest, amen, he was made a high priest in things pertaining to God. Is that what the book of Hebrews said? Amen. Listen. Amen. He wasn't made a high priest over Baal. Amen. He wasn't made a high priest over our worldly entertainment. A man friend was made a high priest over things pertaining to God. And so, man friend, we must learn what it is. Amen. To recognize the picture that is painted in your head of the secret place and what it really is to live under the shadow of God, and that it is a sacred place. Amen. God is a holy God, and He dwells in a holy place. Amen. He's in a holy city. And the psalmist David said He sits on the holy hill. Amen. Another Bible letter said He's sitting on the holy throne. Amen. And He is a holy God. Amen. That says you know me, worship me in the beauty of holiness. Amen. And the New Testament said, and we're to follow after holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And so, man, friend, when we think of the secret place, and that is Psalm 91 and what it is, to dwell and to live under the shadow of God, I must recognize, first of all, amen, that I am talking about a sacred place. Amen. Sacred. Amen. What goes on, amen, in the secret place is sacred things.
Amen.
Amen. And there are a lot of folk, amen, who are in the camp of the congregation, but they are not seen in the presence of the sovereign. Amen. And the whole thing boils down to, amen, the first recognition. And that is the secret place is a sacred place. Amen. Number two, the secret place in verse number two is a sheltering place. Amen. Notice what he said, I will say of the Lord. Moses said, I'm going to say this. He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. And so what Moses is saying, the secret place, it is a sheltering place. The word refuge that is used here literally means a shelter, a place to flee for protection. Amen. And I'm telling you, in the days in which we live, amen, I'm telling you, we cannot afford to be carnally minded. We cannot afford to live in a distant proximity unto the presence of the Lord. Amen. There are so many things that are going on around us, and we need that sheltering place that is only found, amen, in the secret place. Amen. To live under the shadow of God. Amen. It's to have a place to flee for protection. Amen. I'm not going to be mean tonight. Amen. I don't intend for this to be mean attitude for it. Amen. To settle in our hearts yet. And to revive us in this fall. Amen. That dare not think you and I can live a carnal life tonight. And not live under the shadow of God. And then that friend, when trouble comes, we're just going to flippantly run to God. And blame that friend himself and care. Oh no, friend, this is for those. Amen. That have paid the sacrifice. Amen. And that friend are living under the shadow of God. And so Moses said, I will say, I can say, and the Lord is my refuge. Amen. There'll come a time in your spiritual life. Amen. Where you're going to need God, and only God will do. Amen. And I'm telling you today, of those that have made up their mouth, of those that have made the commitment, of those that have paid the price, of those that have children living their life under the shadow of God, amen, they will find a sheltering place. Amen. I'm glad today that living under the shadow of God, there is confidence. Amen. Moses said, I will say, I'll stand up and say it again and again and again. And living under the shadow of God, I can trust that God is my refuge and my fortress. I can run to Him. He is my God. Amen. And notice what he said and who he said. He was going to say three things for the tent. He said, I'm going to say number one. Amen. The Lord is my refuge and fortress. And I'm going to say number two, He is my God. And I'm going to say number three, in Him will I trust. Amen. You know what Moses just said? He said, in the time of trouble, I've been living under the shadow of God. Amen. Listen, living under that shadow doesn't mean that trouble's not going to come. But it means you got a deep, settled confidence. And the Lord will be your refuge. Amen. And Moses stands up. And he know any trouble. And he know what it was that, amen, had people stand against him. And he know what it was the man friend had. Amen. A burning heart. And tears run down his face. So, amen, Moses was well acquainted with all of that. Amen. But in spite of all of it, Moses said, and some things I can say. Amen. By faith and through faith. Amen. He is my refuge. He is my sheltering place. Said, amen. And with all the confidence he has, amen. Not in himself and not in Joshua and not in Canaan and not in his family, but with confidence in God. Amen. Moses said, I can trust my God. Amen. You'll learn that living under his shadow. If you're not living under his shadow and trouble comes, your life will come to pieces. Amen. When you're not living under the shadow of God. Amen. When snares begin to come your way. Amen. And difficulties come. Amen. You won't be able to bear under the load. And if you've been living under his shadow, amen, you'll be able to stand and say, amen, let come what may. Amen. I will trust my Savior. Amen. Why? Because there's something about living under his shadow. And that prayer gives you and I faith that we're living in a sheltering place.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Boy, I feel like I ain't going to get all five of these out. Amen. Number three, the secret place is a saving place. Notice what he said in verse number three. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Are y'all enjoying this?
Amen.
I'm enjoying it, praise God. Notice what he said. Here's some more faith for you. Surely.
Amen.
Boy, I love that word. Moses said, surely. You say, preacher, what's that mean? Let me break a real down. Amen. Cookies on the bottom shelf. Amen. It means no doubt about it. Surely he shall deliver me from what? The snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. In other words, Moses said, I've been living under the shadow of God. All these years we've been in this wandering wilderness. Amen. And I have learned that of my God living under his shadow. again and again. Amen. Through all the length and travail. Amen. I'm glad that my God is the same in place. Amen. To those that have been saved. Amen. That you know saved people need saving every now and then. Amen. Oh, that's what Peter said. Amen. Lord, save me when he's a sinking. Amen. Peter's already soul saved. Amen. But buddy, there's a time in his life. And the storm overwhelmed him. And the wind, amen, got his hands on the cannon. Amen. To make him be little to faith. Amen. But that friend, when he sang, he's gone down. Amen. Peter said, Lord, save me. Amen. And you know what Jesus did? Amen. He saved the saved man. Hallelujah. Amen. And Moses said, I'll tell you what God has done. But I've learned by living under the shadow of God. Amen. It is portrayed and pictured. And the secret place is a saving place. Amen. Here Moses is certainly, said certainly, he is certain of God's delivering power. Amen. And he gets real specific now. Amen. He said, I tell you what, living under the shadow of God has done for me. This secret place has been my saving place from the snare of the fowler. Amen. I'm going to read that, but they hell. Amen. I don't think he's talking about a temporal enemy. I don't think he's talking about Amalekites and Philistines and Canaanites and Egyptians. Amen. I'm going to read that. I believe that Moses has in mind. Amen. The Lord will enter in man. Amen. None other than the tempter himself. None other than the great trickster and snarester named Satan. But you know what Moses said? That's just some amount living under the shadow of God. And the old devil can lay snares in my path. And God delivers me out of the law. Amen. I'm glad today. Amen. I serve one and under his shadow has proven to be my saving place. Amen. I'm glad there's no temptation. Amen. That is taking you ahead. But such as is common to man. God is faithful. And he makes a way to escape. Amen. I'm glad today. Amen. You say, old preacher, I can't help what I've got. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. When you're in a carnal man and you're not living under the shadow of God, amen, you don't have any saving power over sin. And those that are living under the shadow of God, amen, the old eternal power of mankind, amen, as though it were snatching birds for his prey, amen, has no victory over you. Amen, Moses said, I found a saving place in the secret place.
Amen.
Amen, preacher, what is the key to victory over sin? Live under the shadow of God.
Amen.
Get close to God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He not only deals with snares, but he deals with the destructions the enemy has desired. Amen. He said not only from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. That word noisome is an old English word. It doesn't mean what you think it does, a bunch of kids screaming in the house. That ain't what noisome means. Noisome means destructive. It means ruinous. It means, Brother Jerry, amen, something that, amen, absolutely will destroy your life. Amen. And Moses said, I tell you what I've learned. That they by living under the shadow of God. Amen. His secret place, his my saving place. And then this noisome, this destructive and ruinous of situations that would be brought into the camp. They cannot touch me. In fact, he'll deal with that. Amen. Later on in this psalm, how the others are going to fall prey to. And Moses was confident. And through the power of the secret place, amen, he had found a saving place for his life. Amen. Secret place is a sacred shelter and saving place. And the secret place is a shielding place in verse 4. Amen.
Amen. I gotta quit. Amen. Living under the shadow of God provides the child of God the assurance of being doubly shielded. You're not just shielded. You're shielded coming and going.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Where do you see that? Look in the text. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Shield and buckler. Amen. Now, there are two different things, but if you'll look up what a buckler is, here's what it means. A shield. His truth shall be thy shield and thy shield.
Amen.
Amen. Now, there are obviously two different shields. Amen. The first shield would be a common shield. But buckler is, amen, a buckler would be a shield that and would be approximately 4 foot tall. It would be the width of the land that would cover him, amen, from every side. And when the enemy would begin to, amen, shoot their arrows out, amen, at this soldier, he could just simply kneel down behind him. And he would be absolutely and totally defended from what the enemy threw his way. Amen. Can I say that's what our God is? Amen. Oh, I'm glad that in times of trouble, in times when the war is raging, amen, the secret place is thy shielding place. Amen. Oh, you say, how have you learned that? Amen. Many times in marriage you've been flung out of relationship. And I have learned all I got to do is kneel down and begin to call on my God, and all of a sudden, amen, I'm shielded and I am shielded again. Amen, I'm covered on every side. Amen, they said that. And they said that a buckler shield, amen, it was kind of round and it would literally wrap around the man and the soldier in that time. Amen, I'm thankful tonight, I'm covered, I'm wrapped. And completely protected from the enemy.
Amen.
Secret place is a shielding place. As a mother hen broods over her chicks to shield them from the storm. Amen. So are they who live under the shadow of God. That's what that verse said. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Amen. What did Jesus say in the New Testament time? Amen. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I've gathered thee together as a hen gathereth her chicks. Amen. And broodeth over them. And so, amen, we find in the secret place, living under the shadow of God, is a shielding place. Last of all, verse 5 and 6, we'll find the secret place. This is probably my favorite point of all, and I'm done preaching. But it is a settling place. Say, what do you mean? Thou shalt not be afraid. You know what living under the shadow of God does? It brings a freedom from fear. It doesn't mean trouble ain't going to come. It doesn't mean, look in the context of what he said. He said, thou shalt not be afraid. What's going to come our way? The terror by night, the arrow in flight by day, the pestilence that walketh in darkness, and the destruction that wasteth that new day. All these things are going to come. But Brother Larry, Moses said, thou shalt not be afraid.
Amen.
See, we think living under the shadow of God will lose all troubles, all problems, all pestilences, all terrors. Terrors meaning bad things, terrible things happening to us. Moses experienced 40 years of terrors. Moses experienced 40 years of pestilence. Moses experienced 40 years of serpents. And are y'all listening? I mean, terrible things. You know what Moses said in Psalm 91? He had learned, you'll live under the shadow of God. All of that can be going on all around you, and thou shalt not be afraid.
Hallelujah.
But Because there's something about when you are close to God, it settles your heart that everything's going to be all right. No matter how it turns out. Is that right? It is a settling place. There's nothing like getting your life in close proximity to God. Sometimes, ain't it sad? Sometimes it takes trouble. It takes our world being flipped upside down before we get serious about saying, okay, I'm going to drive my life close to God. That's often how it works. Amen. But even in those times, there's something about it. If you've been away from God and trouble comes and you get driven back to God, you can get back to living your life in the shadow of God. There's a settling peace that says, not afraid anymore.
Praise
the Lord. Amen. Ain't that good?
Amen.
Portrayal. What does the secret place look like? Looks like a sacred place, sheltered place, saving place, shielding place. Thank God it is a settling place. Child of God, quit giving some fear. It's okay. It's okay. The day God ain't on the throne anymore is the day you need to start working.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. The day God sends word that he's a little worried about what's going on is the day you need to start working. Amen. But until that day, live your life. Live it. Live under the shadow of God. You'll find a center.